now on the scene. 475-1080 is the number to call with your traffic tips. A look at your Central Coast weather. Overcast skies today. Later on, mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-40s, highs in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, also partly cloudy, but highs in the 70s tomorrow. And Monday, Memorial Day, looking clear, highs in the mid-70s for your Memorial Day. Coming up next on KSCO, we have the Saturday Special with your host, MZ.
Yo, Easton.
Yo, Zwirling.
How art thou?
Thou dost be doing fine. Good morrow to you, sir.
Yeah, to you too here. So listen, Easton, it's sort of sweet and it's sour. You know, is this sort of like the final voyage of you and me together here on
this
the
is, yes.
Special?
Most likely.
I know. But it's yay, because the reason is pretty good for you. You are entering the big time. And I know that you're a classy guy, and you're not gonna forget your friends here, and
not at all,
you know, in little old KSCO land here. But
my heart will always be tuned to 1080. That's what I tell people.
Great. Okay. Well, yeah. So let's start the program here and
good
and take
morning.
It from there.
A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, and the world at hand. On KSCO.com, MZ welcoming you to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. Today is a K day. It's a perfect opportunity for you to come down to the radio station and meet Mama K. She's here autographing books here, and it's a good way to spend Saturday morning. Hope to see you.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Coming up on the next award-winning KSCO Saturday Special, an unsettling but quite necessary topic to discuss. Increasing violence in our communities and how to deal with it. The tragic stabbing of Shannon Collins less than 3 weeks ago in broad daylight in Santa Cruz has left our community in shock, but it has also created a needed awareness that violence is not confined to large cities. It's real, it's here, it's now, and it will grow unless we take steps to prevent it or at least mitigate it. But how? Remember that phrase, an armed society is a polite society? I believe it. But you don't need to be armed with a gun. You could be armed with knowledge and special training in self-defense. I want to introduce you to a 50-year-old gentleman who has been a lifelong student of martial arts. Bill Francis holds the rank of third-degree black belt in the art of street fighting, a no-holds-barred style of self-defense, and he has a lot to say about violence and protection therefrom. He will say it on the next KSCO Special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on You'd Rather Not, But You'd Better Face It Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. Promo didn't say you're a dentist. In fact, you're an endodontist, right, Dr. Bill? Oh, wait a second here. Let me get your mic on. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, thanks, MZ. Among a couple other things, yes.
God, you are an involved human being. So it's a far cry from doing root canals to, you know, making talks all over the country about protecting yourself from violence and so forth. So, yeah, tell us a little about yourself. How did you get into all this?
You know, MZ, I was a student of the martial arts since about age 9. And about 20 years ago, I became involved with a practitioner who was a specialist in real-world applications. And I quickly found out that the skill set I thought I had was not necessarily the skill set I needed. And because of that history, it started a whole another journey for me. And because people knew my passion and how much fun I had meeting people and competing and teaching nationally and internationally, I got a phone call one day from a healthcare practitioner who had been stalked and assaulted in a healthcare practice. And it was a typical phone call that I was going to receive for the next 20 years. Nothing I planned on, but the phone call was the usual. Something terrible has happened. Please come up and make it better. Is there a secret move? Is there a secret technique? Is there something you can do for us to make this never happen again?
Why would you get those kinds of phone calls in the first place?
Well, fellow healthcare practitioners knew that I had a passion for what I did and that I did more real-world stuff, so it was always interesting dinner talk. And it just so happened that I knew this individual who had been assaulted and stalked, and I had consulted with her prior to this, saying, you know, let's put in place a couple of simple routine habits that may start to lessen your chances of having an encounter. So when things finally did come to a head, I got that phone call.
Okay. When was that, and what kind of a path did that lead you on?
1993. I remember very specifically because when I walked into the physical site and began assessing it and talking with the staff, the family members, the doctor, owner, what I quickly came to realize that I was walking into a room completely full of people who were experiencing post-traumatic stress, that they were basically going through the classical post-reactionary crisis phase that I have now come to know very well that happens after an assault. And it was eye-opening. It was humbling, essentially, because I didn't know what to do. There was nothing I could do at that point to make them feel better. And that's what started this path.
All right, talk to me about the path. What did you do then? What happened?
Well, then, first I started doing research. I started to get some statistics gathered. And I want to say a quick thing about statistics, because we're reacting now as a community to this, and we're starting to try to get a grasp on it. The only two statistics that are important to me, MZ, are the 0% and the 100% statistic. If you've never been raped, stalked, assaulted, robbed, or beaten, you're a 0% statistic. If you have, you're 100%. And so in between there is where we have to get some literacy. There are extremes. And so we kind of have to do something that's acceptable for everyone and easily repeatable.
So wow, I never thought of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now there's literacy is needed. Okay. Literacy means awareness of the situation, that there is real danger out there. Yeah, even in a place like Santa Cruz, which isn't generally thought of as a place where gangs or violence is rampant, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so,
I mean, we have to differentiate between awareness and paranoia. You know, paranoia is that unsubstantiated belief that something bad is going to happen to you. You know, awareness is a necessary, instinctive survival tool. And the author Gavin De Becker, and I highly recommend his book, The Gift of Fear, Gavin De Becker talks about the fact that we have instinctively within us the potential already to know when something isn't right. We've all felt that gut feeling. But in our culture, we've been trained to ignore that.
Really?
Absolutely. You know, it's so funny when I work with parents, with kids. One of the first things we have to work on is understanding that the word no is a complete sentence in the English language. We need to be able to say no. We need to know that it's okay not to get into that elevator with that individual that doesn't make us feel right when it's 1 a.m. and we're alone in some building. This is the kind of stuff we really need to talk about.
What do you do? You just don't get into the elevator.
You don't get into the elevator.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you're all by yourself when the elevator door closes. And if the person is a nutcase and there's nobody around, he's going to press the open door button and come out and do what he would have done in the elevator, maybe.
Right. And once again, we're trying to play the statistical odds. You know, I always tell people, if you're outside of an Irish pub at 1 a.m. and it's St. Patrick's Day, most likely you're going to get in a fight. We try to not be there. You know, I dated a gal one time who was a financial planner, and she would go and get the Wall Street Journal at 1 or 2 a.m. And I thought to myself, you know, this is where we put ourselves into what is called a gray zone. And a gray zone is really an important definition for people. Shannon Collins Although it was a statistical anomaly, if we look at, you know, attacks, assaults, you know, those kind of things, but she was in a gray zone. And a gray zone is an area where we're going to and from somewhere, meaning a parking lot, a sidewalk, a trail. These are where the criminals reign supreme. This is where they go. And so this is a gray zone. It was a typical gray zone scenario assault, even though statistically who and why it was done is the anomaly here.
All right. Now, while we're talking about Shannon Collins, stabbed this Tuesday, it'll be 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
In broad daylight on Broadway, I think.
Where yep, was on Broadway.
Not in downtown Santa Cruz, but well within the urban part of Santa Cruz.
Yes.
In a place where, in a time where you would have least expected something like that to occur. Do you think that there's anything that could have been done at all to prevent that?
If I could go back in time, no, I don't think so.
That's why you call it a statistical anomaly.
An anomaly. This is, you know, and what we learned very quickly, and one of the things when I got exposed to the Filipino martial arts, I was looking for more awareness with my weapons applications. And one of the things I quickly learned is that a blade or any type of weapon, by the way, 90% of all homicides have a weapon involved, is a great equalizer. MZ, I could take you up to our property into our training center today, and we could get the practice knives, and we could start sparring. I would get cut almost as many times as you would. This is the kind of thing where...
Did you say cut?
Yeah, it would be practice knives, but essentially, you know, you would soon realize that there was no special techniques or skill sets at that point in time that I could have given this person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what we're dealing with now is, as a community, as individuals, is what I encountered at that office, although I didn't know it at the time, was those reactionary post-violent stages. You know, stage one is the disbelief, you know, the denial, the numbness. We're seeing physical side effects in some of the staff members and people that were assaulted, you know, lack of sleep, appetite, those kind of things. And I walked into that, the fight-or-flight syndrome. Auditory exclusion, those kind of things, that nervous adrenal dump that we deal with and law enforcement is trained to work through in order to act effectively. You know, and then that second phase is we're going to see the impact phase where there's going to be emotions. It's going to range from anger to fear to rage. And some of the phone calls we'll probably get today will see specifically this stage. And then, of course, we're going to hopefully get to the reconciliation stage. And that's a trial and error stage where the individual tries to make sense of what happened, whether it's a family member, loved one, and that can take years. That can take years.
Hmm. Did you hear the promo?
No, I did this first time. Yes,
this first time you heard it.
Yes.
Just now, and then we were adjusting the mic, so you didn't get to hear the whole promo actually. Now, what would you say the purpose of this program? What would you hope the purpose of this program is?
Absolutely, that's real simple. I'm going to give some bullet points, some talking points. Someone out there is going to take one or two of those and hopefully take them home, talk to their children, talk to their loved ones, begin to have literacy regarding violence in our society as part of our conversations and our training for our friends, families, and loved ones. That is the key as to why I'm here today. That's all I do.
You're here to spawn literacy in violence.
Absolutely. Listen, as a parent, it's important that I talk to my kids about safe sex. It's important that I talk to my kids about financial discipline, about deferred gratification, about the love of higher education. All of those things, as parents, expose them in a structured environment to things they become passionate about, whether it's music or sports. Why isn't this literacy taking place? I do a going away to school module for college-bound women and young men. And it's amazing that it's oftentimes me who's the first time, and these are exceptional kids, it's the first time the parents and the children have actually dealt with this topic.
Yeah.
There you have it.
It's like it says in the promo, you don't want to talk about it, but you better.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And we try to do it in a fashion that's done, you know, with love.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great. We're talking with Bill Francis, who is... Well, you've just heard he's a local Santa Cruz resident. He happens to be an endodontist, a practicing dentist who specializes in endodontics here in Santa Cruz. But his passion is showing people how to protect themselves against violence and is appearing here on the Saturday special. I just became acquainted with Bill for the first time on Thursday on the telephone. You know, my mom called me and said, "You got to talk to this man." Why? What do I need to talk? Just talk to him. And you took off after that.
Yeah.
Now I know why my mom wanted me to talk to you. So anyhow, and I'm going to give out the phone numbers. This is an uncomfortable topic.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know how many calls we're going to get, if we're going to end up jamming the phone lines or we're not going to get any. But you and I can you know, carry on a nice conversation among ourselves. You can do a little lecturing because you certainly do that all the time. But our phone numbers for your participation here on the KSCO Saturday Special, 479-1080, 479-1080, and that's in area code 831. So if you're listening to us on the internet or outside of immediate on-air coverage area of KSCO, we'd like to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments about this unsettling topic of violence, it's here, it's now. We really are not going to do anything. If we don't talk about it, if we don't meet it head on, if we don't learn what we can do to recognize it and deal with it, then it's not going to be as good as if we do. So we got the perfect person here, our guest on the Saturday special. That's Bill Francis of the Bill Francis Academy.
Yes, thank you, MZ.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. So, we already have some callers right now, so let's just sort of be a little informal and start the program here with people on here who called it 479-1080. We've already got Mark in Live Oak will be our first caller, so let's put Mark on the air. Welcome him to KSCO. Welcome, Mark. You're on the air with Bill and MZ.
Thank you, guys. Good morning.
Mark, Hi. Good morning.
I was listening to you talk about how, that was just a tragic thing, and especially in the middle of the day, there's not much you can do about that. But it does seem to me that there's a disproportionate number of sexual assaults and crime on Broadway. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I picked up the Sentinel or listened to KSCO and heard about something happening off Broadway. And from Broadway on, there's a lot of prostitutes, and I've lived down there, and it's gotten a lot better. I don't know if you remember back during the 90s when it was an open-air drug market down there with the guys literally standing in groups on all the corners on Barson and Riverside, just opening, just waving people down to buy drugs from them. And they cleaned it up a lot. They don't have those guys walking around doing that anymore. It was a huge problem, and it was blatant. And there's nowhere near the number of prostitutes there were, but there have been a lot of sexual assaults in that area and some murders. And I think... I just want to get your comment on that, if you see that pattern.
Mark, thank you, and good morning, and thanks for the question. And, you know, Mark, this ties in wonderfully with one of the topics that I wanted to dovetail out. When we look at prostitution, when we look at risk behavior, the first thing we have to understand, violence is a learned risk-taking behavior. And if we look at people such as prostitutes and we look at the statistics for them, over 70 to 80% of them were sexually abused as children. And we're looking at a high percentage of them who witnessed domestic abuse. These are the underlying factors. And once again, you know, when MZ and I were starting out and talking about this, when I say the word families in discussion, we really are going to come full circle and say, listen, you know, there's not going to be a congressperson, a senator, or a police officer that's by my wife's side 24/7. But if we can get back to the underlying statistical risk factors that are really high, domestic abuse, date rape, you know, violence as far as witnessed in the home by children that are at risk and looking for rites of passage. This is the underlying problem, and you hit exactly upon that. And I remember those days, by the way.
Yeah, they were really bad, and I'm not exactly sure what drove all those drug dealers out of there. I think maybe just the neighborhood neighbors getting tired of it. I know that there were police crackdowns on a regular basis, but I'm not sure what type of pressure specifically was put on them to really, truly drive. I mean, they're not even down the beach flats anymore. They used to just be standing out there on the corners, and they're just all gone now. I'm sure
they're not at beach flats anymore? I'm surprised to hear that.
Well, I mean, I drive down there all the time. I live down there, and I work between here and there, and I've lived here all of my life, and it was appalling. And now you go down there, you just don't see these punks doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. But started off with the drug dealing. The drug dealing was going on between Lee Brent, between basically the merry-go-round at the boardwalk and the 7-Eleven on Broadway. There was a lot of open-air drug dealing going on there. And I think that drew in the prostitutes. And then the prostitutes drew in the real horrible guys going down there and at night and attacking women. I was standing on that corner. I was actually on a mountain bike ride up West Cliff, and I was coming back to Live Oak. And I was on that corner and waiting for the light turn green, and this little punk was standing on the other side of the intersection, and he was waiting for the light to turn green on the other side. And some college girl was riding a mountain bike with her backpack, and she had an open waistline, you know, and she pulled up next to him, and he actually wrapped his arm around her and tried to grab her, and she just, like, just almost, she just, like, freaked out as she took off on her bike. I mean, that's the type of stuff that I've seen down there. It's just not a pleasant neighborhood. It's a lot better than it used to be. But I was wondering if, I think when it comes back to sexual assaults that seem to be happening down there a lot, I think if there's more of a police presence, a regular police presence cruising those two streets, Barson and Broadway, I think a lot of it would... I don't have the stats of how many's happened, but I read a lot about it, and I was wondering maybe what's your view on a police presence being a little bit more.
You know, Mark, this is interesting. Once again, now we're in a transitional state here, and your points are absolutely on target. And we'll talk about that young lady that was approached and inappropriately touched by that gentleman in a second. But let's get down to now the crackdown, and now the fact that the community is now paying more attention to our homeless community, and the focus is now beginning to go on to local areas in the community, and neighbors are coming out saying, listen, we don't want you here at this point in time because of this, this, and this. And I understand that. What we have to now be aware of is that many people that are transients and homeless do have some serious underlying mental health issues. And one of the things that keeps people in that state at least somewhat predictable is they have routine. It is routine for them, whether it's not our routine, and we agree with it, that they go, they sleep in a certain spot, and they go to a certain street corner on a daily basis. If indeed over the next weeks or months, these people now begin going to transition, they're going to end up at local churches or centers, and some of these churches and centers actually house preschools and K-8 schools where children are present. They're going to be new to the site. They're going to be in a state of flux, and potentially and statistically, these are the people that are going to regress, and we may see, actually, more outbursts because of this. We are at higher risk at this point in time in the next month or two because of this transitional zone. And the next thing I want to talk about, just real quickly, we can talk about techniques and training, but one of the real important things I teach my students is you only own the ground you're standing on right now. And when it is a blade-based art, when it's a reality-based situation like that, your zone that's surrounding you, and you know very comfortably, and you figure out very quickly how close someone has to be to touch you. And that awareness, that three-dimensional potential to know what's going on, to be in what we call the yellow zone. Let's go through the zones of awareness real quick. Perfect time to do that. White zone. I'm laying at home, remote control, watching cable, got a bag of chips on my stomach. Dogs are outside. That's the white zone, just about napping. Very relaxed, not really aware of my surroundings. The red zone, fight or flight. Someone's attacking me. They're in my zone. Police officers can tell you about this more. People that are bouncers or undergo this. In between that is the yellow zone. And that's where we kind of want to train people. It's the zone that most of the time our dogs are in. They're relaxed, but they're alert. They're listening. There's that underlying little thread of awareness. And that is where the teaching takes place. This is where you say to yourself, I would not want that person to be touched, and having someone get inside that zone. And that's where a little bit of training does become extremely effective.
Sure.
Fascinating.
I wanted to give someone else a chance to talk.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. I appreciate your call.
If you don't mind, about the cameras that the neighbors are installing, I'm really excited about that because the technology is so cheap and easy to install now that I think that's going to have a big impact getting those home security systems. So thank you, guys. Have a good morning.
Mark, have a good day.
That's great. Let's see. We have a commercial break here, but we have Dan in Pacific Grove. I think he's been waiting. Well, I'm going to take Dan's call, then we'll go to the commercial break here. Dan, welcome to the Saturday special with Bill Francis and MZ. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to highlight one comment your guest opened with and pass it on to your readers, excuse me, listeners. He mentioned the book by Gavin De Becker, The Gift of Fear. And I read that. It was published in 1997. I don't know if it's currently in print, but it is very available. I have one copy left on the shelf. I've given away over a half dozen copies over the years to people, and usually with a comment that I want everybody I care about to read this book. And that is a remarkable book, and it really arms a person. And I would advise a person to
such
not
a book should not be out of print ever.
I agree with that.
And, Dan, thank you. Thank
I would
you.
Advise people to not be put off by the title. It does not instill fear. It arms the person with knowledge and awareness. And what I'll make one.
That's what I would think by the name, The Gift of Fear. Yeah.
You know, one. I'll close with one remark, and let you move on. But one of the people I gave that book to was my nephew, who's a highway patrol officer, and at that time he already had years of experience, including a couple years in Central Los Angeles, and I gave it to him. I said, for his wife. I said, yeah, your wife ought to read this, you know, give it to her. And she didn't see it for months because he read it. And then he passed it on to every other officer in his station who read it. And even with all his training and developed expertise in human relations and violence, and after that time in Los Angeles, he told me, he says, wow, I really learned a lot from that book. So that's something I wanted to pass on. You know, I've acquired copies off of eBay for anywhere from $3 to $10 in excellent condition. Most people don't abuse books. You know, a couple of dollars, you can pick up a copy. I picked up a copy at Logos once.
But it sounds like the book is so good that even if it was dog-eared, you'd want to read it, huh?
Certainly. So that's just something I wanted to underline. I thought that was a spot-on remark from your guest, and I really advise your listeners to look into that.
Dan, thank you so much. That is a seminal work, and we'll keep plugging this guy's books until the end of the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. It was Dan in Pacific Grove. Next will be Phil in Santa Cruz, but not until after we do the commercial break. That opens up phone lines. By the way, they're wide open at 479-1080. Pick up the phone and become part of the program. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking all about violence and what you can do to be aware of it and deal with it. It's also a K-Day here at KSCO. Perfect opportunity for you to come on and down and pick up at least one copy. The first copy is $25. Each additional copy is $15. They make great gifts all year long, packed full of wisdom. People have been asking for that Kay's commentaries be compiled into a book for many years. Now it finally has. And every penny of the proceeds, not 60%, not 80%, not 10%, every full 100% of the proceeds of the Kay's book go to operate this radio station, which I think people are beginning to realize is pretty unique in the country. Everything else is pretty much corporate owned and you know, what do you call it, cookie cutter in every way. So we're proud to serve our communities and give you quality innovative original programming. So we will come back with Phil in Santa Cruz, but Easton, take it away. We will be back in just a moment. Stay with us, please.
Hi, I'm Nikos. I'm the owner of Terrabella Landscaping.
I really liked your process. I liked the fact that you came here for several sessions, and we talked and just talked about the kinds of things we wanted, and you heard that and were able to put that into a concept that then we were able to kind of tinker with and play with a little bit. And then, I mean, I think it was just a matter of great execution after that. Digging out the hardscape that was in front and then repurposing that for some of the other elements in the front yard. And then, of course, the pavers in the backyard that make up the wall for the vegetable garden, all of that was reused. There's almost nothing in this yard that is the way it used to be. It's really incredible.
We're Terrabella Landscaping, Santa Cruz, California, 831-479-1629 or at gardensforalifetime.com.
There's a new newspaper in the Monterey Bay Area, and it has real news in it. Hello, I'm John Chown, publisher of the Monterey Bay News and Views. As a longtime area news editor, I know how important it is to get you the news, and we are doing just that in the News and Views. Here is what you will find in our latest edition.
Now that Fort Ord is a national monument, what's next? We take a look at what the communities of Seaside and Marina may be thinking. And will Pacific Grove and Seaside combine police chiefs? It's one of the moves the cities are considering to combat mounting debt. We talked to the Delray Oaks chief of police about Ryan Young, fired and rehired by Safeway after stopping a man from beating a woman in the store. And we provide calendars so you'll know not only what shows to see, but what government meetings you might not want to miss.
You already know what's on at the movies this week, but if you want to know what your local government is doing, or who is doing all the moving and shaking from Scotts Valley to Carmel Valley, pick up a copy of the Monterey Bay News and Views, available everywhere it matters.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lomond Market. Check out our great selection of fresh produce. This week we are featuring California large ripe avocados, 4 for $5. Great for that homemade guacamole. From Mexico we have Roma tomatoes, 77 cents a pound. Fresh jicama, 49 cents a pound. Large cucumbers, 37 cents each. And ripe mangoes, 59 cents each. We just picked up a fresh shipment of jumbo artichokes. These local-grown beauties are only 2 for $4. In organics, we are featuring California asparagus, $3.99 a pound, California sweet baby broccoli, $2.49 a bunch, Kaz avocados, 2 for $3. So come check out our great selection of fresh produce and many weekend specials at Ben Lomond Market and Scotts Valley Markets.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Huh. Those cats were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening.
Welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special. My name is MZ. The special guest in the studio is Bill Francis. We're talking about violence. Our phone number is 479-1080, 479-1080 in area 831 if you want to join the program. Love to have you here. Next caller will be Phil in Santa Cruz. Phil, welcome to KSCO with Bill and MZ.
Hi. There really isn't any excuse for Santa Cruz to have something like that to happen. I know it can happen anywhere, but, you know, Santa Cruz has been a magnet for a lot of vagrant type people. We cater to that. Here we have this now. So my suggestion would be that the women that are walking, especially on the mall or in the Broadway area, that the quickest and easiest solution.
Hey, is there any, you know, we can't hear you because you're in a very, very noisy area where people talking next to you are talking louder than you are.
The easiest and quickest solution, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. The easiest and quickest solution is to carry pepper spray. And, you know, it doesn't take a lot of knowledge to be able to know how to use it. It doesn't take a lot of skill. But you've got to be ready to do it. And just hit them.
What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, Phil, thank you for your comment. And one of the first things I do talk about to everyone who comes to train is that if indeed you're going to carry a weapon of any type, one of the most important things to realize is that, first and foremost, that weapon can and possibly will be used against you. So weapons retainment and looking at the training I've been able to take a look at with some of the anti-terrorism task force people, some of the law enforcement, some of the trainers who train SWAT members, pepper spray is very effective, but on a motivated, highly drug-riddled individual, unless you have an amazingly one-in-a-million chance of getting that shot perfectly, once again, it's a risk factor. But Phil's suggestion is very good, I mean, as far as thinking about weapons and their applications. But please understand, if anyone out there is going to do this, understand that if it's going to be used against you, Go to someone who's going to train you and use it against you to see what it's like. I do not want you asking for directions about pepper spray the first time you're getting raped and the rapist is on top of you spraying your own pepper spray in your face. That's not a good place to be asking for directions.
Wow. That's heavy stuff.
It's true.
All right, Phil. Hey, thanks for calling the Saturday special and your suggestion. We do appreciate it. That was Phil in Santa Cruz. Lines are wide open at 479-1080. Let's talk about a permit for a concealed weapon.
Absolutely.
Now, you think in terms of guns, you know, when you think of a permit to carry. And why should you need a permit to carry something to protect yourself? I think there are a lot of people who just say, to hell with that, I'm going to carry my gun anyhow.
You know,
people aren't going to mess. I own a gun. I don't happen to carry it. And I don't know if I were to go to the sheriff's, you know, and apply to the sheriff for a concealed carry permit, if it would be granted. But if it wasn't granted to me, I'd carry it anyhow.
You know, MZ, my rule always is that I'm here to be a truth teller. And that sometimes is difficult for many people. We have to understand that worrying about this situation will not make us safer, okay? If we go through our lives trying to think that positive thinking is going to decrease our children's or family's incidence or to exposure to violence, we're mistaken. And as a former political science major, you know, one of the first things I was taught was never make a law you can't enforce, okay? And if we really feel that we're capable of enforcing people not carrying guns, I mean, talk to any law enforcement officer in this county at this point in time. They're understaffed. They are now having to do basic catch-up work on the multiple felons that have been early paroled on top of our mental health cutbacks. It was, I think, $670 million last year, according to statistics, in the state alone. We're number one by the nation for mental health cutbacks as far as the state goes. We're looking at a situation here where everyone potentially could have a weapon. If not, I can show you how to do improvised weapons right now. I see there's two pens laying on this desk, and, you know, I could kill you with a ballpoint pen. Is a ballpoint pen and a clipboard, which I can use to kill someone with, that gets through school metal detectors every day. We have to understand and get our literacy regarding what a weapon is, what our definition of a weapon is, and with our law enforcement being understaffed the way it is, with the community and the increase in gang involvement at this point, there are a lot more guns out there than we know about. And if we took all the guns away, and as that song goes, threw them in the bottom of the ocean, I have a machinist in town here who could fabricate me a wonderfully functioning pistol within 24 hours. If we can get weapons into San Quentin, we can get weapons into our community.
What does the law say? I mean, does the law say you can't carry a concealed knife? Because they say it's a permit to carry a concealed weapon.
Right.
I mean, if I carried a knife on me without a concealed carry permit, am I technically breaking the law?
You may not have noticed. I carried a knife in today with me. It's in my pocket, but it's a clip knife. It's in my pocket, and my shirt, which is hanging out, is not covering the exposed clip. If I was wearing a long sweatshirt and this clip was covered, and the law enforcement officer could not see it, then potentially we can start getting into concealed weapon issues, but it's legal for me to carry this weapon. And once again,
yeah, stand up. I didn't notice it. Stand up and let me see. So, okay, yeah, all right. It could be. It looks like it could be a pager. You know, it looks. I wouldn't have guessed that that's a knife.
MZ, I all I need is a ballpoint pen, a stick, a rock. I mean, it's you know, this is, people become very creative when they become violent. And we see the training films out of Pelican Bay. The prisoners, these people, even though they're criminals, do not underestimate the fact that they are extremely intelligent. They watch the training films. They understand what's going on. Many of them have been sent off to the military to specifically gain training to bring back to the gang members. These people are highly trained, highly physically fit, and are motivated. We're not seeing beatings. We're seeing assassination attempts in many of these instances, and we need to be very aware of this.
Wow. Well, so not to push this in the direction of becoming a political discussion here, but doesn't that all add up to you, and I don't mean to be putting words in your mouth, but doesn't it add up to you that concealed carry permits are just ridiculous? Why bother?
Listen, once again, have we seen law enforcement effectively be able to enforce this law?
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking. And I'm not saying that as a critique. And I'm not trying to take sides on this. I'm just asking for some statistics showing me, you know.
Well, that's another way of saying, of agreeing with me, that it's pretty useless, concealed carry.
And understand, too, one of the real important touchstones, write this down, everyone, please. 911 is not a plan. Dialing 911 is not a security plan for your family. 911 is part of a plan. The response time varies per community, per situation, per circumstance. Do not rely on law enforcement to be there. The death from a stabbing takes place within, you know, 30 seconds to 2 minutes. It could be over. A very good friend of mine, Larry Lindenman, works for the Dade County, Chicago. He heads up the SWAT training up there. And Larry talks about the OODA loop, which is very, very interesting thing to talk about. An ex-Vietnam fighter pilot talked about the OODA loop. And the OODA loop stands for observe, orient, decide, and act. And if another fighter pilot, an enemy, has already observed and oriented you as you're flying around, and they have made the decision to act, they're in that decision-making phase, if they are inside your OODA loop, it's most likely too late for you to respond. You're most likely going to die. That observation, orientation, decision, and action, that sequence there is critical. And Larry trains all these SWAT guys, and not once in the past 15 years has an officer with a holstered gun been able to stop them from, under, of course, the conditions that are controlled, from him getting his blade and assaulting them and essentially killing them before they could get their shots off. And there's some critical errors they make, and that's where the training starts. So even having a gun, once again, if you're going to carry a weapon, make sure you get the proper training, or it can be used against you. That's the underlying absolute key.
Whoa. All right, 479-1080, area 831 is the phone number to call if you want to join the discussion today. Bill Francis is our guest here at KSCO on the Saturday special. Heavy subject here. Let's go to the phones. We got a lot of space for callers here, but Bob in Santa Cruz has been waiting. So you're on the air, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Mike. I'm using an alias. Too many people know me in this town. In my security days, so I spent many years bouncing at night when I was in college, and I can tell you everything he said is true. And I found that the one of the best, most effective ways of not getting stabbed is to it just recently happened to me. As a matter of fact,
What happened to you?
It's kind of like the people that are out there at night. If you're going to go out at night, don't stay out after 9:30. 9:30 is beyond that. It used to be 10:30, 11:30, or even 12. When you go out, you don't want to stay out past 12 because that's the witching hour. That's when the violent criminals are out there, and they're cajoling and finagling their way into people's space to try to entice them into a violent act so they can get off on it. It's sort of a macho thing for them. And I got in a situation. I rarely go downtown anymore. And I made that mistake of being out past 12, and sure enough, I had an individual, his partner, started harassing me, and I got into a really stupid argument. Next thing I know, the guy's in my face telling me he's going to shank me in the neck. And I'm a well-known guy in town. And I just used my backwards kung fu, and I've been studying martial arts. I could have easily taken this guy out, and I just placated myself. I just acted very calm and immediately apologized and diffused the situation real quick, you know, and I know I'm going to see this person again, but I'm just going to avoid the places that these people hang out. And that's one way of thinking about it. If it's going to go down, you could, if your options are limited and you know it's going to go down, you could try to stall it.
Wait a minute. You said you knew that you could have taken him down or taken him out.
Oh yeah, I've been trained in martial arts my whole life.
Okay, I understand. Now I got to get into your head here, because if I had been trained like you have been trained, I don't think I would have made the same decision that you made. I think I would have made quick work of the guy.
Well, this is the problem. It was toe to toe. He was in my face. I could have very easily gripped him up and body slammed them head first into the concrete without even throwing a punch. I know how to do that. When I was younger, I've done that, you know, so let's just say I could have done it. And I did it. I took the passive aggressive route. You know, I decided that it's best that I don't escalate this, and I you know, with my wits about me, you know, I calmed it down. I don't want to have to deal with this person again, you know, or his friends or whatever.
Oh, I see. So, if you would have made quick work of him, if you did any, well, even if you killed him, either way, you're gonna run into problems with him later and his friends. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. See. It's good that I'm asked that question because now I understand.
Well, you know, it's...
And the other thing, too, is the other thing, if you really take somebody out, and I've been in this situation bouncing over the years, when you really take somebody out, whether they had a knife or not, the police would actually grill you a little more about why did you go so far to do, you know, why didn't you try to de-escalate it? See, that comes up. And that will come up. So if you do take them out completely, you're going to run the risk of possibly having an assault charge. It's kind of a, it's really gray, and especially if you're trained. If they know that you know how to take care of business, they're going to say, why didn't you defuse it? Why did you go all the way and break his neck or whatever?
You know, it's fascinating. Bob, thank you. And actually, I think I know who you are, but I'm not going
to. I think I might too. Do I know you, Bob? Do I know you? It's MZ's talking.
Yeah, I think. Well, anyway, Bob, listen, you know, absolutely. And here's the fascinating part about what Bob just said. He was able to think through the situation. And that's the incredible thing about left brain thinking. When you're trained, you don't go into that neurological feedback loop where it crosses that corpus callosum, goes down there to the midbrain and the reptilian brain, and you get in that fight or flight. He was constantly, logically going through a thought process and how to assess the situation. That is the one thing the warrior arts do teach you. That's the one thing martial arts do get you ready for, is you're actually consciously making logical, progressive decisions about, you know, entering into combat. And once again, this is a, you know, these stories are priceless for me. You know, when I bounced for quite a few years, and now when I go back and train and consult with bouncers and with business and restaurant owners, you know, we even have whole subsets now of training regarding date rape drugs and being vigilant on how they're applied, being able to see if an individual has been date rape drug. There's a whole another level of sophistication with what these bouncers have to put up with. And in my opinion, these are the people that are truly on the front lines. This is the most volatile and dangerous of all situations, right up there with law enforcement, if not more so, because they're in a situation where there's alcohol, there's drugs, it's after hours, they're in an environment where it's conducive to violence. They don't get paid enough, I got to tell you.
Yeah. You know, another thing, too, and this is the hardest part that men don't understand, is you have to suck it up and swallow your pride and be embarrassed and accept that. You know, and all your friends that know you, whatever, they see you in this situation and they're like, well, so-and-so is going to knock the crap out of so-and-so. And it ain't like that. You suck it up, you apologize, and you try to diffuse it as quick as possible.
This is the kind of mentorship that we need to have on a family and individual level. This is the kind of teaching. Bob is the kind of person that will come to me when I'm a kid, and I'll go to him and I'll say, I want to learn things. And he will teach me the things I think I need to know. And then these conversations will start. When the training is complete, if you've had someone who has taken you into a family type of art, that an indigenous art that I was blessed with, exactly what he said, this is what counts. We know, but they say that the blade is still wet on some of these arts, meaning some of my teachers actually killed people in World War II or whatever it was. And so they know the severity and the life and death decisions we're making. And so this is, like I said, this is the kind of person we need talking to kids, talking to our youth, and coming across and saying you don't always have to do what you think you need to do.
Hey, Bob, have you done that before? Have you ever done that?
What's that?
What Bill suggested? He says we need guys like Bob talking to kids. Have you ever done that?
I don't really have time. You know, another it's so much, it's so involved. It's like when I walked away from that lifestyle, it's like a dark cloud over your head. People always remember you for that, and you don't want that bad energy around you. You feel it in your gut. And the other thing, too, if you can avoid the violence, see, this is the deal. When you actually get involved in a confrontation, let's say you win and you're victorious and all your friends see you knock the you-know-what out of somebody. When you go home that night for a week after, you actually feel bad about it. If you don't feel bad about it and feel weird about it and get a weird, sick feeling in your stomach, like you really weren't sure if it was right or wrong, then you're a psychopath. There's something wrong with you.
Whoa.
Well, wow. And this is the issue, too. And once again, The beauty of the indigenous arts, the village arts that I was taught, was that there was a healing component as well as a defense component, because both were viewed as equally important to the survival of the village entity as a whole. And when we look at this, you know, as far as what Bob just said, which is fascinating, in every violent encounter, I always teach my students there is a before, there is a during, and there is an after. And my responsibility is to make sure that I have got a whole well-trained individual who can deal with all three of those facets, because it's generally the after that can have the worst effects.
Bob,
absolutely.
Yeah. Bob, thank you so much for your call. What a great call. You really added to the program.
Thank you, Bob.
Right, appreciate
you
it. There goes Bye. Bob in Santa Cruz. John in Santa Cruz is next. We're going to have to hold him over to after the top of the hour, because we have a – or maybe we can start before him. We've got a three-minute commercial break here. So, Easton, go ahead. Let's do that. And it's the KSCO Saturday special. Kay is here. Come on down. Buy a book at 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz. Get it signed. Talk to you.
Since 1849, California has been the new frontier, and the passion for innovation and development of great new products and services continues. But one thing that has changed is how these products and services are introduced, developed, and marketed to the consumer. Whether you're marketing a brand, a band, a product, or a service, Link Media Partners is here to help. To find out how we can help you, call 831-295-1849 or find us online at linkmediapartners.com.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits.
Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Okay, everyone, we have a major announcement. My mom's book of some of her best commentaries over the past dozen plus years is now available under a new pricing schedule that will be conducive to more sales, which will translate into more revenue for your favorite independent radio station, so we will be able to create even more stellar original programming and stimulation than we already put out. Impossible, you say? Just watch us or listen to us. And don't forget, Kay's book makes an excellent gift for anyone. Stock up on them and never have to stress about the perfect gift for someone ever again. There's a reason that Kay is more popular on KSCO than even Rush. She's brilliant, as well as logical and right on. Solve the gift-giving problems. Help KSCO get even better and make the world smarter all at the same time. Buy Kay's book at KSCO.com or at KSCO Studios on Portola Drive during business hours. $25 for the first one, $15 for each book after that. I'll say it again. $25 for the first book, $15 for each book after that. Come to KSCO Studios Saturdays during the Saturday special, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, to meet Kay and have her inscribe your books.
Less music, more talk.
News Talk 1080 KSCO.
Was that 3 minutes already? Amazing. All right, we do have time for John in Santa Cruz, so let's bring him on. John, welcome to the Saturday special with MZ and Bill. You're on the air.
Hey, hi guys.
John, good morning.
Good morning. I really enjoy this conversation. I hope what I have to say kind of dovetails with what you're trying to get across.
Go for it.
You know, one of the things...
But understand, we're probably going to have to hold you over here because the alligator is going to get us in about 40 seconds less.
Okay, well, I'll definitely hold over. But, you know, some of the... when I think back, I was in the Navy, so some of the best decisions I ever made was avoiding trouble with what I call my my spidey senses going up and realizing the situation and being able to avoid them. And sure enough, some people really got hurt. You know, being overseas, you find yourself in bars.
Hold that thought, John, okay? Sure. I'm going to tell everybody this is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. Here is CBS News. We will be back in just a few moments here. We get the beep, so it's funny. It's funny. This clock is off. It's just about here. How off is it? There it is.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. Justice delayed may not mean justice denied in the Eitan Pates case. New York police say Pedro Hernandez confessed to killing the six-year-old 33 years ago. He's been charged with second-degree murder and is on a suicide watch at Bellevue Hospital. Lisa Cohen, who wrote a book about the missing child case, spoke with Eitan's father.
I spoke to him yesterday. And he was just starting to hear some of the facts of the investigation, and I think he's really in a processing mode. He's trying to figure out what he thinks.
CBS News senior correspondent John Miller says Hernandez's attorney is trying to undermine the confession.
His own attorney in court asked that the court order a mental evaluation because the lawyer is talking about Pedro Hernandez as being someone who is bipolar, who has had hallucinations. So he has already started down the road that a defense lawyer would need to go down to attack the validity of this 3.5-hour videotape confession as something that Pedro Hernandez made up.
Jurors in the John Edwards trial will be going to holiday barbecues like everyone else. They've got the weekend off after deliberating 33 hours over 6 days. CBS's Aaron Moriarty says the panel has a tough job.
There were 45 pages of jury instructions, so that's what these jurors have to deal with.
The 8 men and 4 women were warned by the judge not to discuss the case over the weekend. Edwards is charged with violating federal campaign finance laws. Space station astronauts have begun the several-day process of unloading supplies from the Dragon cargo ship. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
This is the second of two test flights that the company SpaceX plans to carry out. If all goes well, they hope to begin routine cargo delivery mission starting in September. They have a $1.6 billion contract with NASA to launch about 44,000 pounds of cargo to the station on 12 missions. So they've got a very full plate in front of them. They're off to a great start with this test mission. No major problems at all, and I think that really sets the stage for routine U.S. cargo delivery flights.
SpaceX also hopes Dragon can be used to carry people to the space station. You can shop till you drop over the holiday weekend. There are a lot of sales going on. Retail analyst Bert Flickinger on the bargains to be had.
With Best Buy and Radio Shack reeling with negative same-store sales, they'll be doing some desperation discounting. And in apparel, cotton prices are 50% lower than what they were in 2011.
Tropical storm Beryl could mess up some weekend plans in the southeast U.S. The National Hurricane Center's James Franklin says it could hit tomorrow.
The southeastern United States has not had a lot of rain lately, and so we're actually hoping that Beryl can alleviate that with the amounts of 2 to 4 inches possible as it moves inland.
This is CBS News.
Ever turn on your TV to find the dish hopper let you skip through all the ads? Ever find an entire show is passed without interruption because the dish hopper lets you automatically skip the ads? Well, if you're tired of skipping ads, turn to radio, where ads are alive and well.
Watch commercial-free TV with the Hopper, the new whole home HD DVR from Dish. Call 1-800-WATCH-TV to get Dish today. Only available for playback of select HD primetime shows and must be enabled by customer. Programming sold separately. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Do you suffer from a magnesium deficiency?
My doctor told me I needed more magnesium, so he recommended I use Magox 400.
You're not alone. Millions of Americans don't get enough magnesium in their daily diet. And magnesium is a critical nutrient that helps you convert carbohydrates, protein, and fat into energy. Doctor recommended Magox 400 is made with the most concentrated form of magnesium available. And each dose of Magox 400 provides all the magnesium you need each day.
Magox 400's magnificent.
Try Magox 400, the magnificent magnesium supplement.
Taking off to show off.
They're the Army's Golden Knights parachute team. I got to see them jump from 12,500 feet, flying with them recently over the show at Joint Base McGuire-Dix-Lakehurst in New Jersey. 9 elite jumpers were aboard.
We're going to scream at the earth and deploy our parachutes at 2,000 feet.
They know how to do this.
This is going to be my 628th freefall parachute jump.
There they go, off into the distance as they head down in freefall.
The feeling you get while you're skydiving, the feeling of flying, it's incredible.
Flying with the two rear doors wide open, it is cold. Feel it in your hands and in your toes. Good luck.
We see you on the ground, sir.
Making some bumps as we go along here. You can see the crowds as we fly by. Great experience. Dave Barrett, CBS News, over New Jersey.
The Golden Knights performing in Wisconsin and on Long Island this weekend. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
I wrote this in June 2008, and it is in my book. The disturbing issue then was the North American Union. I have a sense it has gone underground because many Americans are totally unaware and would be against this union. Let's read my commentary of 2008 again and be prepared to object to this takeover of our country. Here goes. Recently, I attended a Flag Day celebration to honor American veterans from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. The ceremony was touching, and it was beautiful to see their pride when each veteran got up and said a few words. The program opened with a young girl singing God Bless America, and she concluded the ceremony with the Star-Spangled Banner. When the words, "The land of the free and the home of the brave," were sung, my eyes filled with uncontrollable tears. Because I'm bummed out, because there is this gut feeling that we the people are losing our beloved country as we know it. Our President Bush and our Congress, without our knowledge and approval, are giving away our nation as it was planned by our forefathers. We are, and still should be, a sovereign nation beholden to no one, but there are changes ahead. Effectively, our borders with Canada and Mexico will be erased. They call it globalization, but we never voted on this change. We have been betrayed by our leaders. We are in the process of becoming an alliance with Mexico and Canada called the North American Union. Our nation and our wishes eventually will become subordinate to the Union, and as we speak, the international superhighway is already becoming a reality, where certain other countries will be bidding to buy portions of the highway, and they will institute tolls to make money for themselves. We the people never approved this. How do you feel about other countries owning part of the U.S.? Why weren't we consulted? Now it's clear why President Bush broke our laws by leaving the borders open deliberately all these years. It's because he is a globalist who wants to enlarge NAFTA, which has been a disaster for the U.S., but good for the other countries involved. What can we do to stop this blatant giveaway? Undoubtedly, the greed of a few powerful people who stand to benefit from this sneaky alliance is involved. And the kicker is that the despicable, corrupt United Nations intends to be in charge of the North American Union and eventually in charge of the world. It is insane, and we are allowing it to happen. How can we the people stop this takeover? For KSCO, this is Kay's Whirling.
Thank you, Kay, and thank you for tuning in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's nearly 9 minutes after 11 a.m. on this Saturday, May the 26th, 2012. I'm Easton Allen with an update on your Central Coast roadways, but first, here's Bill Graff.
This portion of programming on KSCO is brought to you in part by RV Service Center of Santa Cruz, your locally owned RV parts and repair center in Santa Cruz. RV Service Center specializes in all RV insurance repairs and now offers service rebates equal to your insurance deductible. It's like you pay nothing. At RV Service Center, 2525 Mission, Santa Cruz, a proud member of Think Local First.
Out there on the roadway is Highway 25 near Briggs Road. We have a stalled vehicle in the roadway there. CHP now on the scene. And in Monterey, Highway 68 near Chomp, we have an accident there. Tow truck on the scene. The westbound lanes are blocked at this point, and more crews are on their way. County Road G16 near Cashwago Road, have an accident there. CHP en route. Your Central Coast weather for today, partly cloudy skies. Highs in the upper 60s, lows in the mid-40s. Tonight also partly cloudy, and as is your forecast for tomorrow. Sunday, Memorial Day, looking clear. Highs in the mid-70s on Monday. Coming up next on KSCO, we have hour number two of the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Gee, I got to hear Bill Graff.
I know, what a thrill, right?
I know. Boy, does he have the pipes.
He does.
Holy Christmas.
I would kill for his voice.
Yeah. Well, you might get in terrible trouble for having killed somebody just to get his voice.
It's, you know, have you ever seen The Little Mermaid? It's been done.
Okay. Yeah. All righty. Thank you, Easton. So, we have to start hour number two. You know, I forgot about all. I forgot how to be on the radio here. Now someone's calling me in my cell phone, so I'm going to shut that off. Here's what we do. We press this button and make this sound.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
I understand that we have been getting compliments on this radio program, that it's a good public service. We love to hear that because we like to know that we're helping the public here.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And I will also tell you that a number of people came in last hour and met Kay and bought a number of her books, and she inscribed each one of them. But there's nobody there now, so it's a perfect opportunity for you to come by 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz, get a copy of 4KSCO, I'm Kay Zwirling, a book chock full of Kay's wisdom, and if you get a number of them, then you get a huge price break, and it helps your favorite radio station survive and do more things to become an even better radio station. So come on down. Kay will be here at least until 12:30 today. So we were before the break, we were talking with John in Santa Cruz. And by the way, our guest today is Bill Francis from Bill Francis Academy. And we're talking about violence. It's about time someone really talked about violence and how to spot it, how to do something about it, and so forth. But let's go back to the phone lines here and let John in Santa Cruz finish making your point. Go ahead, John. You're on.
All right. Thanks, guys. Well, really what I wanted to just talk about is how, you know, as a dad with two young, you know, boys, you know, my thing is I just want my boys to be kind of prepared for any situation that might arise with violence, but really in a way where they kind of have their spidey senses up. They kind of can sense it. They kind of can feel it. And in the case of my middle son, I you know, he's taken up wrestling. And I'm really really advocating that for dads to get their kids into wrestling. And I really like to call, I like to say it kind of gives them a base. That ability to just square up. If there's a situation at school, maybe there's some violence happening, this, that, or the other, they'll kind of square up and be able to get away from the situation. You know, I feel comfortable with that. And you see all the YouTube videos where these young kids are just absolutely naive and they just get destroyed. And I really, you know, being a dad, worrying about things like that, you know, I just want to help my kids be prepared in that moment where there's a possibility of you know, a violent act, a fight or whatever. They can just be prepared. I'm not saying I want my son to fight or anything. I just want him to recognize the moment, square up, be able to get away from it. And one other point I wanted to make, and I'll go, but, you know, I might be criticized, but I let my kids watch the UFC with me. My youngest boy loves the WWF, and I grew up watching wrestling. But the one thing that I take away from the UFC is there is a cause and effect when there's real violence. Somebody really gets hurt. And when you watch the WWF and entertainment, you know, young kids, you know, they don't get that effect. But when you watch the UFC, I tell my kids, and again, we're not having it on, you know, a rotating reel 24/7. But when it's on, I say, hey, watch what happens here. And just understand that you always have to have your spidey senses on and understand that you can get hurt. And with that combination and just having good common sense, you know, I start to feel better as a dad that my kids can get up into middle school and high school and be prepared.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, he said thank you as Mike wasn't on. So,
John, first of all, I want to thank you for your service to our nation. God bless you. And hearing a father talk about stepping into mentoring his sons regarding giving us literacy, this. It's fascinating, and I got to tell you, as someone who has trained some mixed martial artists along the way, wrestling is one of the best bases. These guys get such strength and aerobic and anaerobic conditioning that five-minute rounds is basically it's a warm-up for these guys. So wrestling, he's absolutely right. I've got a six-year-old who's already showing some interest, and my three-year-old, he's on his way already. So that's very interesting. And as far as the UFC is concerned, I want to make a comment here. You know, one of my dear friends here in town is actually lived in Thailand in a temple and learned what's called a Drit Muay Thai. His name is Jason Beatty, and you know, and Jason was one of the found. He was the founding guy of the Santa Cruz Combat Club, and Jason will tell you too. It was such a fraternal organization. We weren't there to one up each other. We were there to learn, and that was truly what this is all about. And in a culture where John made another valid point regarding some of the shows our kids are watching, you know. We have a culture that our kids aren't even familiarizing themselves with what death really is. You know, to most of these kids, death happens on a video game. They push reset and they can start over again. They watch the World Wrestling Federation and for what it's worth, but we come away with, once again, a skewed and unhealthy impression of what this reality is. And I asked MZ just to give me a second or two here. I want to backtrack with what John was talking about a little bit from his military service and Bob touched on as well. Regarding the traveling groups of youth right now that are looking for fights after hours, et cetera. And this really ties into one of the keystones, the cornerstones of my motivational speaking, you know, engagements is about the lack of rites of passage in our culture. You know, we have subcontracted out birth of our children, the maintenance of our homes, the care for our elders, the transitioning to death, all those things are taken care of in the indigenous cultures in real time by the whole village as an entity. And because of this, these lack of rites of passage, it's my opinion that there's almost a genetically ingrained need to try to go through some rite of passage, meaning there's a before, where you're prepared for this. There's a during, which is that time. We see a lot of people getting multiple tattoos because that's the during part. You're going through a painful process going into the next part where it's the after, and you're being accepted into the tribe with new responsibilities and new a new level of maturity and awareness. You know, some cultures, the mother will turn her back on the son as he returns from the rite of passage and actually not recognize him. He has to reintroduce himself. And so our culture has no before and no after, but we're really stuck in this during phase. You know, and as far as for the military is concerned, we have no after phase for them. They're not welcomed back in a structured fashion, and we see so much post-traumatic stress secondary to that. Even the Viking cultures understood that when their warriors returned, they had three separate baths of water, and they were ceremonially dipped in these things to cool them down on some type of a symbolic level. And that was their way of being welcomed back in and getting out of that pattern of the fight or flight, the warrior mode, and integrating back in a structured fashion. We need that so desperately. And when we work with the at-risk kids, the gang kids, this is where I have to get them. This is where we catch them. Because when I speak to some of these executive groups full of men and women that make millions of dollars a year, and I tell them that the Norteños, the Serenos, some of the other gangs have better inculcated and structured rites of passage in their groups than we offer our kids, and we're doing so at our own risk, it draws attention. And this is, I think, really the keystone for what we need to talk about.
How are we going to get more rites of passage, and how are we going to get more pre-rites of passage and more post-rites of
passage? Absolutely. Well, listen.
How are we going to do that?
Obviously, gentlemen like John, like Bob that have these things to offer to the community, we need to step in as fathers, as adults, men and women, and begin to integrate once again into what we would call a family unit. I mean, MZ, look at your mom, for instance. She is a bastion of this community. She is an elder for our community. And because of that, she's someone we can look to for mentorship, for guidance, for stability. This is what we're lacking. We are warehousing our elderly at nursing homes. And the level, the amount of information, the amount of knowledge, the amount of life experience that is stacked over there and left fallow, we're doing this at our own risk. We need to get back and understand this is a conversation we need to start having at our table. You know, I don't teach up on the property because I want to make money. I have people up on the property to train. So my boys wake up a couple days a week and think it's normal for their family to talk about violence, to talk about weapons, to talk about the lineage, how the knowledge was passed on, how that thread could have been broken hundreds of times because the families that taught me were subjugated. You know, the Franciscans would have murdered the whole village in the Philippines if they caught them practicing weapons. That's why it's done in silence. That's why they used hand signals. They did it in the jungle at night. This was how it was passed on, how delicate that knowledge was, and how close we came to almost losing it. This is a sacred thing for us as well. And so I need to have a structured format where my kids think this is a normal part of their existence, just like our path of worship, just like everything else.
All right. We want to hear from you, 479-1080. If you're listening and want to participate in this discussion, it's a very unusual discussion. We're very happy to present it here on the Saturday special. For today, we want to hear from you, 479-1080. That's in area 831. Give us a call. We'd like you to become part of this program. We're going to go back to the phone lines now. And by the way, if you want to email me, it's mz@ksco.com. If you do it during the next 40 minutes, there's a good chance we'll read it on the air. And if not, it's good any time. I always like to hear from our audience with ideas and comments and suggestions, as long as they're complimentary. We don't want any kind of – no, I'm only kidding. Actually, I'm sort of not kidding. Okay, so let's see. Who's next? Who's been waiting the longest? Oh, my gosh. Tom in Live Oak, 25 minutes plus. You're on the air, Tom.
Hello, Michael. Hello, Bill.
How in the
Tom,
world
Tom, good
are
morning.
You?
Good morning to you. Very long-time resident of Santa Cruz since 1951.
Oh, you're that Tom.
Yes.
Thank go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm knocking people off track by being silly.
No, you're fishing for a compliment, Michael.
Okay.
Bill, thank you for bringing to light the literacy fact of this. If your gut tells you it's dangerous and it looks dangerous, it's probably dangerous.
Thank you.
This is so important that we realize.
Don't most people react to that if they think it's dangerous?
No.
Really?
Absolutely not.
Yes.
No.
Boy, I always do.
I know. But that's where the training comes in. And Tom's exactly.
And I haven't
right.
had any training.
I spent the last 15 years realizing that we have basically we've anesthetized our culture into trying to be proper in certain levels. And once again, I said it again, and Tom, you'll agree with this. No is a complete sentence in the English language. We have got to teach our children and young women. No is a complete sentence in the English language.
I am absolutely not politically correct. We have part of what you're talking about with rites of passage. Don't fight. Don't stand up. Don't talk back. What does no really mean? No means no.
No means
it
no.
It usually has a period after it, and that makes it a complete sentence. No,
absolutely.
Period. Sometimes it has an exclamation point. That really makes it complete. we've gotten so soft and easy. My 82-year-old mother and I were traveling in China 2 years ago, and she looked over at me, and we were in some western China, way out on the Afghan border in Urumqi, and she looked over at me, and she says, "I feel safer here than I do in my own home," and that really led me to believe that we have become a desensitized society with the video games, the TV, the movie, the lack of rites of passage, the lack of personal respect, zero family values, zero family unity.
Absolutely.
Where did it all go?
It went in the pursuit of money, property, and prestige.
Absolutely. You know, Tom, I want to touch on a couple points. There was an interesting Live Oak story. There was this stabbing that took place, and the young gentleman that died, he'd gotten into a car and he died at the Staples parking lot. This was a couple years ago. One of my friends witnessed this, and this is a fascinating interaction. When the police were interviewing him, he said, "Listen, it's been 45 minutes. I got to get home. I live here in town. My kids are right. I got to get home to my kids." And the officer said, "How old are your children?" He said, "My one son is 11. My one son is 9. And he said, "Did they go to the middle school?" He goes, "Yes." He goes, "Do not tell your children what you saw as a witness, because they will be pressured by the gang members in their middle school."
Right.
Fascinating. Once again, before, during, and after with rites of passage, we are behind the curve on this.
Right.
We are behind the curve. The other thing I want to talk about, too, and Tom is mentioning, when I speak to large groups, many times I'll get a little bit of pushback because it is an uncomfortable topic. And one of the teaching tools I use is quite good is I'll ask a mom, a woman or a gentleman who's kind of pushing back a little bit. I'll say, "Listen, let's do an imaginary scenario training right now. Let's say that you're at the front door of your home and someone is kind of trying to get in your home, and behind you is your wife, your children, your grandchildren. They're there. And if you know that if they get past you, it's going to be over. What would you do? Where would you be at there?" And 99.9% of the people say, "I would do anything I could in order to protect my family, whether it was scratching, biting, clawing, to make sure that they lived." Let me tell you something. The Lua, the Hawaiian martial arts practitioners, have a really interesting theory. Their body is their home, and their grandparents and their parents teach them different portions of the movement. You know, the lower body will be the female half, grandmother, grandfather, and they'll teach them ancient techniques. And as they go into battle, they'll say, "This is my grandmother, this is my grandfather," pushing onto these techniques. But the most interesting thing is they view their body as their home. So that mentality about someone entering my home goes with them everywhere they go. That's the mental attitude, and that's the little trick I use to try to get that to go. In the parking lot, at home, at school, everywhere. You're basically, you are your home. And so hopefully that's going to help a little bit, Tom.
Well, and you know, the funny thing, okay, here's another mom story. Michael, appreciate this. Several years ago, we're on the Spanish Steps in Rome. The beggars come up when they have the cardboard, and they put the cardboard in front of them, and then the other kids get underneath them. My mother takes her purse, which is significantly heavy, wraps it double around her wrist, and decks like 6 of these kids using that perfectly reasonable defensive weapon, a purse. And here's a woman that probably at the time was 75, 78 years old. She didn't even think about it. These, exactly what you were saying, these intruders were going to do harm to her person by taking her goods. She defended it with what she had at hand.
And once again,
she's not trained in martial arts.
Right.
She's just aware.
But if she didn't survive, the health and the potential legacy of the village as a whole was at risk. And this is why these techniques were taught. They didn't do it for fun. Did you ever wonder what is in our mom's purses that makes them so heavy? Do they add weight when they hit 60 or 70? I've always been fascinated by that. My mom must, I think she's listening. Mom, can you call in and just
479-1080. What's your mom's name?
Rochelle.
Rochelle. Yeah. Definitely call in, Rochelle. 479-1080, okay?
Tom, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. That does open up a line for Bill's mom, Rochelle. Let's see. Oh, yeah, we're going to drop your call here. 479-1080 is the phone number to call. Who's next? Elena. Elena in Soquel. Hello, Elena in Soquel. How are you? Be honest. Elena! What have I done here? Did I do something wrong?
She just came on. I heard something.
It's supposed to be Rowena.
Oh, Rowena. Oh, it says Elena.
I think it's supposed to be Rowena.
Rowena, good morning.
But it says Elena. Okay, go ahead. I'll stop here.
Luckily, I just picked up the phone. Interesting topic you both are talking about. I'd like to stray a little before I bring up a couple of things defensively.
Okay.
First thing, the young lady who was stabbed umpteen times downtown Santa Cruz.
Yes.
What I can't understand, I needed to voice it. I think this is my second time in voicing it over radio. After the first stabbing, I'm sure she was screaming. After the second, third, fourth, or fifth, surely there was someone around to to help her? What do you think? I mean, it wasn't as though it was a deserted area that she was walking in. I couldn't understand that one. Could you please answer that for me?
Rowena, thank you for asking that. And I was actually dreading this conversation. I got into a little bit of an argument with my wife today because we'd received quite a few emails onto our website and some phone calls from people asking just that same question. First, I want to go on record. I've not read the complete police report. No. I am not sure exactly, but I understand that there were people surrounding. Rowena, listen, this is what it comes down to, and this is the tough thing to try to say to people about personal responsibility. I think that this literacy regarding weapons, this taking the time within our lives, at least from some standpoint, to actually gain some comfort zone with what happens in a weapons-based attack and to know that as a community, we need to be able to step into that. It says a lot about our culture, about our indoctrination, about what we've been kind of brainwashed into doing as far as proper thought. And this is where, once again, we have a lot of legwork. We have a lot of things to catch up with. But it really does come down to that family unit and to making literacy regarding this more common.
Yeah,
it's difficult. Like I said, I haven't read the complete police report, but I understand your point. And it is something that, once again, I don't know what would have happened if I was there personally. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, if my wife was that individual that was getting attacked, I will go on record as saying my wife not only carries a weapon, but she's capable of using it well. And we've made sure that has been one of our priorities as far as our relationship, is to make sure that our kids are protected.
Okay. And the other thing, thank you very much. The other is about dog walkers at
yes.
the beach or wherever. You know, I never see any one of them carrying a stout stick. Why? Should they be involved in a to-do with other dogs? They have nothing to protect them. Nothing. They always try either the legs or the hands. You should always carry a stout stick. It's one of my things that I always do when I'm alone, hiking, or wherever. I carry a stout stick. It's a form of defense.
You know what, Rowena? God bless you. You know, I teach a Filipino stick fighting art. So every time I go for a walk, I have a stick. I have a knife. You know, it's funny when I go into Nicene Marks and I'm on my mountain bike and I'm in there a couple of times a week, and I have a knife across my camelback that's in front of my chest. And people say, why do you have a knife? And I say, you know, the first sign you see when you go into Nicene Marks is a picture of a mountain lion. Saying
that is true.
And I'm just saying, listen,
too short.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's
the mountain lion.
And the speed at which I ride, believe me, I'll be the first one the mountain lion catches.
Exactly.
But this is, Rowena, it goes back to a personal responsibility issue.
Exactly. Thinking ahead.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your call to the Saturday special, Rowena.
Great points. Great
now,
point.
May I ask a personal question to Bill's mom?
Yes, you may.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Just how proud of Junior are you?
I couldn't be more proud. I'm the proudest mom ever. That's my Mamoni, and I love him to pieces. And Bill, as soon as you said, what do you carry in your purse?
Yeah.
I ran upstairs and checked it out. And what do you think it was?
Probably a lot of jewelry from QVC,
well,
I'm imagining.
There you go. That's a fact. But what do you think a 71-year-old woman would have a lot of in her purse?
For you, some dice, probably a deck of planks.
No. Makeup.
Okay.
You've got to be prepared. And trust me, anybody that came towards me and I picked up that makeup bag, they're done.
God bless. Thanks, Mom. Hey, I'll be over for lunch. Start making the pasta.
Yeah, I know. The pasta's on. I love you, Mamoni.
Love you, too.
Okay. Bye.
I don't know. I think she should co-host with us here.
Oh, boy.
Oh, she's too late.
It would go downhill fast.
No, I don't know. All right. Who's next here? Let's see. Someone who's been waiting 11 minutes and 28, 29, and 30 seconds. That would be Bill in Capitola.
There's Bill in Santa Cruz. Excuse me, Bill in Aptos.
No. It says Bill in Capitola.
Bill, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Bill.
If it's Bill, who cares where you're from? Just you're on the air now.
Yeah, I think MZ is one of the greatest programs you put on, and Bill is fantastic.
Thank you.
I did miss the first 5 minutes, and I've studied karate for a number of years. Did you get into body language? And if you haven't, would you please get into it?
Absolutely. You know, this is the thing. We one of the first things I talk about when I train bouncers and then if we talk to individuals going off to college is that grooming behavior. You know, when we see someone's rubbing their chest, rubbing their hands over their hair or down their cheeks, and they're starting to get that active weaving back and forth.
Cleaning.
Yeah, this is the, we call that the grooming behavior. And once again, we're going back from the higher cerebral functions down to midbrain, which is that monkey brain, which I spend most of my time there anyway during the day. But
Are you just tricking?
No, this is the truth. These are the visual and auditory cues that we look for, knowing something is about to ensue. And Bill's absolutely right. Is that what you're asking about, Bill? Is that where we're?
No, there have been a number of studies done by photographing people on the street, and people, police will say, this person is ripe to be attacked. This person is not. I'm talking about how somebody.
Sure.
Himself on the street.
Absolutely. And this is the thing. You know, don't be afraid to make eye contact. You know, make sure you're balanced. This is what, and Bill's training, will after a couple of years of karate, you have a natural built-in balance, and it translates into your everyday movement. But this is the making sure you make the eye contact, being aware, looking across that street, letting them know that you see them seeing you. These are the kind of things that give us, once again, inside that OODA loop, observe, orient, decide, and act. And we know that your posturing and these studies very, very important, Bill. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And the fact that walking quickly and carrying yourself chest high and not looking like a loser slumped over, a lot has to do with it, too.
Absolutely. Here's my challenge, too. You know, when I go into Nicene walks, I'm usually there at around sunset because literally I do not want to have anyone see me riding as slow as I do. It's really sad. But you know, I see women in the park alone with their iPod in, you know, in this remote area. And once again, it's a privilege to be able to do those things. But please understand, statistically, these are the ones that I worry about the most because the park is not well enforced anymore. We're diminishing our number of rangers. The gates are open. It's once again a witch's brew for a problem. You know, I talk to healthcare staff. They go to lunch. They're wearing their scrubs and their name tag. Okay, so I know your name, and I know where you're going to lunch. The second thing is I'm seeing a lot of people with their car keys that have spa fitness little passes. So now I know where you work out. Okay, so that's two things. Now I'm triangulating. The other thing I need to know now is where you live. And now these are the things that these people look for. They're not stupid.
Yeah, and all you need to do a lot of times, if the person owns their home, it's public record on the tax.
Absolutely. And let me touch real quickly on homes because one of the callers brought up as far as the camera, the video surveillance system. You know, I talk about walkaways. You know, a good alarm system. Jarl Saul over at First Alarm, my God, he has more experience in one day than I've learned in 20 years. He's a treasure trove of experience and stories regarding things. Secure the home. Take the time to financially put in place a good security system. You know, Elizabeth Smart was abducted from a multi-million-dollar home with no video surveillance system. You know, and it's
another big point I want to bring up. Facebook did a study. A lot of people are putting on Facebook that you know, they're going on vacation and where they're going, what have you, and people know that's ripe, that the house will be vacant.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Bill, thank you for a wonderful phone call. Okay.
Thank you,
Bill. Thank you so much. Have a good Saturday, my friend.
479-1080 in area 831. Jack in Hollister, thanks for waiting. You're on KSCO with Bill and MZ.
Good morning, Bill and MZ.
Jack, good morning, sir.
A great program. My daughter, when she went to Cal Poly, I was very concerned that she would have the proper skills to be aware of her situation, know what the red zone is. And it turns out that she found a Krav Maga class, and she became a very compassionate Krav follower, studier. And so I went to some of the classes with her, and I was so excited to see how the actions that she was learning became first response, that muscle learning. And it was great. It was really great. Very comforting to know.
Jack, I'll tell you, isn't it amazing? The Krav Maga, once again, is one of those, and I'll call it an indigenous art because it was designed solely to make sure that the Israeli fighters were able to protect their lives in a country, of course, which is surrounded by enemies. So it's reality-based. Any of the techniques that don't work died on the battlefield, and these practitioners are absolutely remarkable. I have had the opportunity to be trained by some of them, to spar against some of them, never fun to do, and to understand that this is the kind of really very, very streamlined, very, very time-effective You get a lot of bang for your buck with the Krav Maga training. And you have to admit, this is something that's enhanced your daughter's life. She's made good friends because of her training in it. And it's something she's going to be able to pass on to her kids. Those are amazing things.
Yeah, and it's I've got a 15-year-old, and we've been trying to find a Krav instructor around in the Hollister area, and we've struck out so far. But, boy, if anyone's out there and wants to get something going, I've got probably about 10 people that are seriously interested in partaking. So,
Jack, send me a quick email when you have time at Bill Francis Academy. I've got a really dear friend, Pongalong Guru John Ward, who runs a Nyan Martial Arts Academy over in San Jose. We'll be having, by the way, our international convention coming up August 3rd through 5th in Santa Clara. But John's got amazing connections, and we will be able to find you someone over there. So just give me a quick email. I'll make a few phone calls for you, sir.
Boy, that'd be great. Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome.
We have Joe in Happy Valley, Richard N. Watsonville, John in Salinas, and some others calling in now, 479-1080. But we are going to take a commercial break. We're going to take one break this hour here. So it's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO MZ with Bill Francis. And we will be back right after this commercial break. Stay with us, please.
It's time to get your RV and trailers ready to roll. Hi, I'm Rena Mills of RV Service Center of Santa Cruz, your locally owned RV parts and repair center with over 36 years of service to the Central Coast community. In addition to RV repairs, our qualified staff services and maintains boat, horse, and utility trailers and toy haulers. We also restore vintage RVs and work hand-in-hand with all insurance companies to ensure your RV is restored to its original condition. Get your RV and trailers ready to roll with the help of your friends at RV Service Center. You'll find us easy to reach and easy to use at 2525 Mission Street, cross street of Mission and Swift in Santa Cruz. 831-427-0881. Again, 427-0881. Or you can email us at rvscsc.com. Again, rvscsc.com.
Everybody waits for the Memorial Day clearance sale to get a good price. We're going to make certain you get the best price. Hello, I'm Kat from Home Concepts Furnishings in Santa Cruz. Home Concepts is having a Memorial Day sale, and you will find the best prices on our huge selection of furniture for the home and office, including all the top names like Flexsteel and Lane, Tempur-Pedic and Diamond, Jonathan Lewis, Robert Michael, and Ashley. Here are some of the deals you'll find this week only at the Home Concepts clearance sale.
From Ashley Furniture, sofa and love seat in five colors. Take a set home today, only $6.99. Real comfortable reclining sectionals in charcoal and brown, only $9.99. And remember, they recline. Two styles of counter height tables with chairs, $5.99 and $6.99.
The boss wants big numbers from our Memorial Day sale. And that means we are marking everything way, way down at Home Concepts Furnishings. Come get to know us. We are Home Concepts Furnishings at 2000 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. We have lots of parking, free coffee, and the best prices you'll find anywhere.
Yes, it is loud. It is raucous. It is fun. So get up and go for it. Take the family. Take friends. Take the entire neighborhood to the rip-roaring racing fun at Ocean Speedway in Watsonville.
It's on. The rip-roaring Friday night fun is on at Ocean Speedway Sprints Night, presented by your friends at Taco Bravo. We're racing American stocks, BAD dwarf cars, micro 600s, modifieds, ocean late models, and sport mods. Adults $14, seniors $12, and kids $12. Or get the entire family in for only $45. Go for the Friday night races.
Ocean Speedway is located at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds, just 2 miles east of downtown Watsonville on Highway 152. Get up and go for the loud, raucous, rip-roaring racing fun this Friday night at Ocean Speedway.
Spring is in the air, and that means it's time for...
What, allergies?
No, Charlie, it's time for electrical safety.
Of course. Hello, Charlie Friedman here with Chris Jensen from JM Electric. May is National Electric Safety Month.
That's right, Charlie. Every year, thousands are injured or killed by electricity around the home. But thankfully, we now have incredible technologies today, like arc fault circuit interrupters and tamper-resistant receptacles that can protect you from those electrical fires and shocks. JM Electric is happy to help folks out with a free home assessment to see if any of these devices or our current safe testing dancing services are a good fit for their home.
Don't get a free tap dancing lesson from your electrical circuitry. Give my friends at JM Electric a call. They'll come to your home, have an expert look at your electrical systems, and tell you what can be done to make your home safe, just like they did for my home. And their visit won't cost you a dime. Give JM Electric a call at 422-7819 or visit jmelectric.com or on Facebook and tell them Charlie sent you.
We've got a transmitter, and we're not afraid to use it.
News Talk 1080 KSCO.
News Talk 1080 K. That's a voice I'd like to have. You know who that belongs to? It belongs to Pastor Renee over at Twin Lakes TLC. Did you know that?
He came into Good Morning Monterey Bay once for an event, and I didn't know it was him. And Rosie had him do the From Capitola to Carmel. It blew my mind. He's the nicest guy.
Yeah, he really is. He's fantastic. It's a great congregation there, too. TLC, Twin Lakes Church, right here in our community. Welcome back to the closing 15 minutes of a pretty neat Saturday special here. We're getting all kinds of compliments and interesting emails. No nudes is good news from George Myers. George says, interesting that a ballpoint pen can kill you. Can you imagine what a fountain pen can do? The guy that killed Shannon Collins fell through the prison cracks, a history of violent behavior, and he ends up on Broadway killing an innocent woman at 12 in the afternoon. The system failed this innocent woman. The guy talking, your guest, is very interesting. I wonder how he gets any teeth drilled. He must talk his patient's legs off, and that's another surgery. I recently went to the dentist and couldn't get a word from the cute nurse. Flirting at my age is just pathetic. As for Kay's books, you should include a CD of her commentaries. Those 10,000 books would fly out the door. To put the voice with the written word could be your selling point. Since no one reads, a paint-by-number coloring book might sell, too. Happy Memorial Day, and send a book to Mitt. Thank you, George Myers. Great email. And by the way, Kay is here to sign books and sell books right up until 12:30 or so today. So come on down to 2300 Portola Drive, and you get to talk to Kay and meet Kay and become one of Kay's favorite people, just like she's probably one of yours. Okay, back to the go ahead, Bill. What were you going
to
say?
You know, I wanted to respond to George. Thank you so much for that email. One of the things I want to emphasize is let's take a little bit of a step forward here and have a little bit of a paradigm shift. It's not necessarily just the system that has failed this individual. It's us as a community. You know, when we use the words like the system or the government, we automatically disempower ourselves and take away the absolute amazing exponential amount of skill sets and ability and knowledge we have right here as a community in Santa Cruz. I can pretty much guarantee you that this individual and his history started with some form of childhood abuse. You know, one out of four girls is sexually abused before age 18, one out of six boys. We're dealing with crimes against children at this point. 60% of men who abuse women also abuse children. 8.8 million kids a day witness the domestic abuse. And if we see these kids witnessing this, we can see tendencies towards hypervigilance. We can see speech pathologies. We can see at-risk sexual behaviors, at-risk violence and risk-taking behaviors. This is when we as a community and as a family began to fail this individual. This is a long, long story. I don't want to jump midstream and say that there's some government entity somewhere way far away or some institution that could have, you know, jumped in and saved this woman in this instance. When we work with these at-risk kids, one of the things we use is called the resiliency theory model. And basically what that says is that these kids need communication. They need an emotional connection. They need to learn the skill of adaptability. They need to have a presence of a caring adult. And sometimes that presence of a caring adult, even in a good family, needs to be a caring adult other than their parent. They need to have successful task accomplishment and get positive experiences. These are the things that we try to do to expose the young people before these pathologies manifest and we lose track of them. But please understand, we have a lot of power as a community, as families, and as individuals. Just if we start talking about this and taking care of those who we define as our own, just like a village would, we may see a decrease in the incidence of these things.
We have a listener in Hawaii, Craig Hudson, who sent an email. Hello there, MZ. Wow, blown away by the show. Thank you. Listening as I pack and prepare for a family trip, so I send email. I recently revisited martial arts with my two sons, age 7 and 5. We are learning Kajukenbo.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, can you comment on that? Real quick.
We've
got a bunch of other callers,
too. Karate, judo, and kempo. It's a combination art. It's an amazing street fighting art. These guys are absolutely lethal. Their movements are crisp, and it's an art, once again, designed to cut through the BS and make effective practitioners as quickly as efficiently as possible. Good. It's great art.
Okay. Yeah, there's more to this this email, but I'm afraid that we only have 11 minutes, and we got we do have a full board here, so we will do our best to get to everybody. Who's
good luck, Craig, with
longest?
Everything.
Joe in Happy Valley. Joe, welcome to KSCO with Bill and MZ. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? Good. I just think it's funny. It's like nobody learned to fight when they were a kid or something. I mean, and I just want to say, like, you know, we have senses and we have feelings. We are animals and we should start using them. I mean, that's how the cavemen survived and stuff. And I think it's funny that nobody can use their feelings or senses anymore because I've used them my whole life. And
Did you learn to fight? Did you learn to fight?
Oh, yeah. I learned. I mean, come on, MZ. Like, when you're going ooh and ah after this guy was saying everything, it's like you've never seen or been in a grade school fight. Sure, I've been in plenty of fights in my life.
I was challenged, and I took up the challenge once, but then I chickened out before it could
happen. It's kind of like listening to your senses and being street smart. And if this guy doesn't want to lay blame to any, you know, organization, let me lay some blame here. I blame the city council. I blame them for helping the homeless so much. And I blame them for having us be a sanctuary city. If we want to get rid of half of our problems, let's repeal the sanctuary city. And, we have 60 services for homeless people more than any place in any of the country. I'm so tired of Don Lane and Ryan Cooner keep coming up with 10 little issues after the fact. You know, they should have been, this stuff should have been happening 5 years ago about our sanctuary city, all the gangbangers coming in town. Why do you think there's like little criminals in middle school that are threatening witnesses and stuff? Because of our illegal Latino population and our sanctuary city status. And ever since that has happened, like, you know, the gang problems have just escalated. And I would like anybody out there not to agree with me on that fact.
No, you don't want anybody. Oh, what did you just say? Like anybody not to agree with you?
Joe, thank you.
Yeah. Now listen, Joe. Would you send me an email so I can have your contact information, at least your email and your phone? For some reason, the system is supposed to be rejecting anonymous callers, but it put you through.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Joe made an interesting point, you know, as far as fighting as a kid. And a lot of times I'll say, you know, I can only hope that at least once or twice in their childhood, my kids get a bloody nose for all the right reasons. I did growing up in town here. I deserved it. You know, it was a learning experience for me. And what has happened here to show how skewed this society has become is that we're seeing, you know, when I looked back on some statistics, and obviously the Shannon Collins issue was the touchstone here for this conversation. Do we remember Tyler Tenorio? Do we remember the Arizona teen stabbed to death at the beach bonfire? The Aptos teen stabbed in the stomach at the beach bonfire recently. Jose Luis Garcia, a gentleman that was beaten to death in his car in Salinas. This is a cross-cultural, multifactorial, multi-causal situation. But Joe will attest to this. I grew up in town here. My kids may never be able to go to an unsupervised beach bonfire ever because the game has changed. We've seen kids getting killed at high school parties. I got beat up because I went to a Soquel party. That was just the way things were, but that was as bad as it got. And so it's a very valid point. The whole tenor of what we're dealing with here has become much, much more serious.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, the worst thing that could happen in a fight was somebody would pull a knife, and that would be very serious and radical.
Absolutely.
But today they'll pull out a gun and kill you.
How old are you, Joe? How old are you?
51.
All right.
Same age.
Would you send me an email, mz@ksco.com?
You got it. All right,
Joe, thank you.
Thank you for calling the program. All right. let's see. John in Salinas. John, you're on KSCO.
Hey, hi, I think there's a nice balance between Joe, the last caller, and your guest. It's a great show, and both had a lot of lot to offer there. I just wanted to comment on OC, or pepper spray for the general public.
Oh, yeah.
50% of the time, it does not work. It's not a terribly effective incapacitating use of force option. It may be effective. Anyone gets anything sprayed in their eyes, it may be effective at momentarily interrupting their OODA loop, and then you can either choose, go offensive or run, but I don't want the public to think that, you know, if you have OC or pepper spray that
that is a cure-all. That does not work more often than not.
Absolutely. I attest to that. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you so much for saying it, and thank you for saying it's a great show. We just love compliments here at your favorite radio station. All right, who's next? It would be none other than Bob in King City. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Yeah, this is a good show.
Oh.
Thank you, Bob.
Appreciate the host. I like the whole radio station as well. One of the things that I've noticed is that if you're setting yourself up for an assault, it could be because you're not paying attention to yourself, just a matter of situational self-awareness, your relationship to, what's going on around you. And in a crowded area, it's not so much a problem. But when the crowd starts thinning out, if you see people who seem to be interrupted, shall we say, in their behavior, that's something to key in on, because they may be waiting for something. That might be just a simple thing as spare change or something a little more ominous. And I think that people need to be more aware. It's the old texting while driving problem, you know?
You know, Bob makes a very valid point, and it really comes back to, once again, that more or less holistic approach, meaning when you put the time in with your own self to think about what your body needs to do and work on that movement, there is a level of instinctual self-awareness that kind of bleeds through your whole system, and you become essentially more aware just secondarily. And that lack of self-awareness in our culture for multifactorial reasons, I mean, we can go on for hours about that, but people are walking around in a daze, and it's a shame.
Okay, thanks, King City Bob. Here's Santa Cruz Bob, who's called before and wants to add something. Go ahead, Santa Cruz Bob. And then we have Richard and Watsonville to cap off the program. Hey, Bob in Santa Cruz. Hey, Bob in Santa Cruz. Going once.
Okay, thanks.
Hello? Going? Yeah, you're on, Bob in Santa Cruz.
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me, Bob?
Hello,
in Santa
Bob.
Cruz?
Oh, yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we got you, Bob.
Hurry, hurry,
yeah.
Hurry.
Yeah, I had to call back because there's one thing that I didn't point out. Based on the individual that you get into it with, whether you know them or see them again or whatever, the severity of how you attack them could have problems down the road.
Absolutely.
And the best arts that I learned, bar none, are Muay Thai. I mean, that worked for me to not take it too far. Jiu-Jitsu and wrestling. Wrestling, number one. And then you got to know a little Jiu-Jitsu for the locks and chokes. And then this is where it gets dicey. If you take it to the next level and throw punches to the face, that person will escalate it that much more. And in situations downtown, we prefer to use joint locks, chokes, and hip throws or front kicks just to get them away, rather than escalate it to the next level of actually throwing punches.
Well, Bob, I'll tell you, I can attest that I've been beaten up by all three of those type of practitioners over the years. And one of the things, you know, when I was teaching over in Europe years ago, I went to a very high-level jiu-jitsu school, and the guys were just, they're so far beyond what I'd ever even encountered. And I learned more than I taught there that week. But one of the things we found really interesting for the advanced black belts and the real high-level competitors, when I trained with them in the evenings, we threw a knife into the mix, and it really, it was new for them. We had a ball with it. We all learned, and I'll tell you what, it was just, it kind of reinvigorated the whole thing. So all those arts, just throw a knife in once in a while. It makes it real interesting.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Sure. Appreciate it. Here's Richard in Watsonville. Richard, you're on the air.
Thank you, Izzy. It's very nice to hear the last caller let us know about all the moves that are being made on the homeless downtown. I mean, that's quite amazing, those kind of moves. But, you were never a fighter in school. It seemed like to me you were a lover, Michael. But this guy here is staying in the stats too much, and you got to get out of the stats, Bill. You got to get real, and you know, either turn Santa Cruz in a violent free zone or something like that. But the only way you're going to get some kind of civility downtown of any kind is not by individual people walking around that are capable. What, protecting the ones that are not capable, and your cameras that are able to tell somebody that's about to commit a crime as opposed to somebody that's vulnerable? You know, it's crazy, man.
Okay, well, thank you, Richard, for making that.
Richard,
that,
thank you.
Here's Megan and Carmel. We're going to squeeze Megan in. Go ahead, Megan.
Well, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Quick question. Just wondering if I was in that situation where the young lady that got stabbed by the homeless man, if I was in the neighborhood and I heard her scream and I came outside and I saw what was going on, do you have any suggestions as to what I could have done? Should I have gotten a garden hose and sprayed him with water? I would never just stand by and let someone in my neighborhood get stabbed to death.
Well, Megan, understand that we'll always protect your vitals. What I don't want is you exposing the under portion of your arms where the arteries and the vitals are. They'll cut those nerve bundles. You'll lose use of the hands, and you won't be able to defend yourself. Make sure if you're going to get cut on a piece of your body that can still allow you to work. Once again, we have seconds here, but, garden hose is something that may have distracted him enough. Any kind of blunt objects thrown at him, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, hey, that's it, gang. Thanks, Megan, for your call. Thank you, Bill. Great show. Got to have you back again. That's it for the show. See you next week.
That's all, folks.
KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Perspective is up next on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Stay tuned. You'll be happy you did. Here is CBS News.
CBS News. I'm Pam Coulter. The three-decade-long mystery of Eitan Peitz's disappearance may be over. Lisa Cohen wrote a book about the landmark missing child case.
This was a case that didn't have an ending. There was never a body. There was never a confession until now.
51-year-old Pedro Hernandez told New York police he killed the child in a convenience store and put his body in the trash. But CBS News senior correspondent John Miller says the defense is likely to challenge the confession.
Based on the way it's starting out, I think what you'll see next is the defense moving in court to have the confession ruled inadmissible. And they will probably do that along the lines that their claim is that their client has hallucinations, is mentally ill, and his statements can't be relied on.
Hernandez is under evaluation and on suicide watch at Bellevue Hospital. Astronaut Donald Pettit cracked open the Dragon cargo ship today.
Kind of reminds me of the cargo capability that I could put in the back of my pickup truck. And the smell inside smells like a brand new car.
It's carrying about 1,200 pounds of food and other supplies, CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
It's always a fun moment for the astronauts on the space station when a new spacecraft arrives. I mean, if you think about it, they're in what amounts to a tin can. It's a very large set of tin cans in orbit, but it's a limited environment. And when a new module or spacecraft shows up, it's always a lot of fun to crank open the hatch and float inside to a new volume, as they say.
Dragon is the first commercial supply ship. It may be used to transport astronauts in the future. Demonstrations and death continue in Syria. That's from a video believed to show a mass burial site in Syria. There are conflicting accounts of possibly scores of new deaths. Witnesses say government thugs killed more than 90 people after Friday prayers. Regime officials blame the massacre on armed terrorist groups. Meanwhile, the Syrian conflict is intruding on the Olympics. CBS's Larry Miller in London.
A Syrian general in the Assad regime and president of the Syrian Olympic Committee tells the London Times he's coming to this summer's games to lead his 31-strong delegation in the opening ceremony. But the British government has other ideas and is likely to bar him, as it has Iran's President Ahmadinejad. Syrian athletes may be given the Olympic go-ahead since they don't serve in the armed forces, but still might not be allowed to parade behind their national flag. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Vice President Joe Biden addressed graduating cadets at West Point today.
The 1,032 cadets gathered here are the key to whatever challenges the world has in store.
Biden says the U.S. is replacing and rebalancing its foreign policy after two wars. This is CBS News.
One thing I've learned on my journey to help save people money on car insurance is that folks across the country like convenience. And what could be more convenient than visiting Geico.com? We can manage your policy, pay your bill online, just about anything you need. And it's open 24/7. It's kind of like popping into the ultimate convenience store. Except we save people money. And we don't have beef jerky.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Making your facility greener can seem hard. Not necessarily rocket science hard, but at least 5,000-piece puzzle of a clear blue sky hard. Fortunately, Granger can help with thousands of products, from lights to faucets to greener cleaning supplies that help lower energy costs and impact on the environment. So you get all your green products right in place without falling to pieces. You know, like a puzzle. To help reduce your costs with greener products, call, stop by a branch, or visit Granger.com/green. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
If you consider yourself a grill master, you might want to expand your repertoire this holiday weekend.
This holiday weekend is finding more backyard chefs trying unique foods like bison, elk, and venison steaks. But a word of caution.
All your wild game doesn't have the marbling that comes with beef. If you're not careful and if you overcook it, it's going to be very dry.
Co-owner of the Longhorn Barbecue Restaurant, Bill Miller, has a unique recipe for those who want to start off with an appetizer of grilled oysters.
Takes not even quite 10 minutes for that shell to pop. You take that oyster off the grill and you have this oyster that cooked in its own juices in the shell.
Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Spokane.
This weekend marks the 35th anniversary of the debut of Star Wars. Moviegoers were introduced to Luke Skywalker, R2-D2, and Darth Vader, a character that's become a cultural icon. The movies have grossed more than $2 billion total. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
Good afternoon. You have it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's 5 minutes after noon on this Saturday, May 26th, 2012. I'm Easton Allen with an update on your Central Coast roadways and your Central Coast weather. Out there on the roadways, Highway 101 in the Hollister area near PG&E, we have a four-vehicle accident there. The vehicles are being moved to the right-hand side. One of them is partially blocking the carpool lane there, so watch out for that. In Salinas, Highway 101 near Blackie Road, an injured deer in the roadway. And in Santa Cruz, Highway 1 near Davenport Avenue, an accident there. CHP is en route. 475-1080 is the number to call with your traffic tips. Your Central Coast weather for today, overcast skies. Tonight, partly cloudy. Lows tonight in the mid-40s.